Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show. With your hosts, Joey and Holly Berry.
Holly, let's go to the Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline and bring in our guest for the week.
Carrie Will is a motivational speaker, biographer, lecturer, writer, vlogger, and gardener of life. She is also the great-granddaughter of Frances Hodgson Burnett, a well-known author, and I am a huge fan. Welcome to the program, Carrie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us on the program, taking time out of your day, and sharing some of your wisdom with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners.
Thank you.
So let's just get this out of the way, because you do speak about this a lot, especially on your blog, about how you're Frances Hodgson Burnett's great-granddaughter. Maybe some people are not familiar with her name, but are familiar with the title of some well-known books she's written. What are some of them?
Absolutely. Yeah, most of the time when you say, we actually call her FHD in our family, because most people can't even get through all three names. But most people would recognize her for her best three known books, which are Little Lord Fauntleroy. You may remember the Rick Schroeder TV series that used to be out. Little Princess, another very much well-loved favorite. And, of course, the big one, The Secret Garden.
That is definitely really cool that you have that connection. Now, you have a different way of gardening, not in rows, but kind of following your own path of laying out your garden. What is that? Tell us more about it, and why do you not plant in rows?
I wanted to. I love all the order and the preciseness of rows, but what I realized was that I got so focused on having everything so perfectly so that I did not leave room for the joy that happens in gardening when you have that volunteer tomato plant over in the corner or the wildflower that gets planted in the corner by a bird. And really it sucks the fun out of it for my family as well. I became someone who was really focused on, like I said, the perfection side of it, that I really I became a not very nice person when I asked them to help me in the garden. And I decided if I wanted joy, that's really what gardening should be, right? That I needed to really just let go of those rows.
So you just kind of so you're planting kind of like nature would intend it? Is that kind of the mindset now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even the Secret Garden even says, you know, she said, you know, please don't let us make it tidy. It wouldn't seem like a Secret Garden if it was tidy. I think more than anything, I let go of the perfection of having to have all the weeds pulled and things having to be exactly so. I mean, I used to go out to my garden with a ruler to figure out how far apart to set every single one of my seeds. No, I just kind of poke random holes, and that's okay. They don't have to be perfected.
Well, yeah, and we have found out whether the rows straight or crooked, bush beans grow pretty good either way.
It all tastes the same, absolutely.
And I just think there is some wisdom to that, not just in the garden, but in your life, where you're just like, hey, you know, sometimes you just have to let things go and enjoy them for the beauty that they are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, you are a motivational speaker. What brought you into that realm or that genre? What was there a defining moment in your life that took you to that level?
You know, I took over the speaking about my great-great-grandmother about 7 or 8 years ago. My mother had done it for many years before that, and kind of passed the baton on to me. And when I was talking to my brother, actually, I'd just gotten back from a public speaking event at an opening of one of the Secret Garden musicals, which if your listeners have not seen the Secret Garden musical, I highly suggest it. It's amazing. But I got back and I was talking to my brother. He said, you know, I've listened to millions of speakers over the years in his sales business. And he said, you know, information is great, but then what do I do with it? And as I went back and I looked at the stories that I was getting to tell about Frances, there were always these amazing takeaways for how we can live life better and differently. For example, one of the things I talk about often is that our current circumstances do not define our future, because Frances had all the odds stacked against her. Her father died when she was 3 years old. She was one of five kids being raised by a single mother in the 1800s. She moved to the U.S. From England at the end of the Civil War, and so it was war-torn. They barely survived that first year. She had less than a sixth-grade education. And then she was a woman, which back then was a hard thing to be. But she didn't let those circumstances define her future. She went on to become one of the most prolific writers of the 19th century. Not only are those three books that she wrote, but she also wrote the other books, five of those bestsellers. She wrote 1,000 short stories and 50 plays. On top of breaking gender barriers, and she was highest paid author of the 1920s, and she did, you know, all sorts of amazing things. So, you know, it says, actually in a little follow, right, it says it's astonishing how short a time it takes for very wonderful things to happen. And so I just try to encourage my audience, just hold on, change is coming. Today does not define us.
No, it doesn't. And what we sitting there and pouting and saying, oh, woe is me, doesn't fix the problem. You have to make things happen in order for change to occur.
Absolutely. I mean, it's applicable in the garden and in life. You can, you know, you got something eating your plants, you got to do something about it, or, you know, nothing's going to help.
I think you've inspired Joey to become a motivational speaker now.
Oh, yeah. Go, Joey.
Your Instagram is full of life lessons. What is your favorite life lesson that you have experienced recently and would like to share with us?
Oh, goodness. One of my favorites, I think one of the biggest ones is that just that reminder that you never know who is listening. Here recently, I actually started those vlogs. I didn't even know that word when I started. I thought I was just making these videos. I didn't know. Anyway, and I thought for sure, you know, I thought I knew who would be listening to me, and it turned out that my 13-year-old daughter's kids were listening. And I think about even Frances's life. She had no idea the people that her words were going to affect. She didn't know who was going to be listening. She didn't know that we would get, we would find years later a handwritten letter from Helen Keller asking her to write Little Lord Fauntleroy in Braille so that other blind children can read it. She didn't know that Alexander Graham Bell would be sitting on a train reading one of her books and write a letter to her, to his wife, about how great a writer she was. So, like, we just never know who's listening. And so we got to be careful and guard our words and, you know, make sure our words are being used for good.
Well, and that's true, and that falls in line with this program. We are amazed at the people that come up to us from and emails and Facebook messages from all over the country. Hey, I listened to your program. Hey, thanks. From Miami, Florida, to Portland, Oregon, to Maine, and everywhere in between, we get these messages of our little radio show, and they're listening to it through podcast replay or live via the apps that we're on.
And the crazy thing, I think, too, with that is that you're sitting in a room all by yourself. Well, I mean, clearly you've got Holly, but, you know, sometimes you forget that there are people out there listening, and it's pretty cool.
It really is. It is absolutely phenomenal and rewarding in a very unique way.
Yeah.
Now, you say the best advice comes from a blooming flower. What does that mean, and what is the advice, and how did you come up with this, the saying?
Well, you know, I think so many times there's a lot of people giving us input in our lives, right? Somebody's always giving their opinion, whether that it's warranted or not. And one of the things that I realized is that the people who gave the best advice were the people who had been buried before. They've been cracked open. They've pushed past the dirt, some hurt. They've learned how to weed and feed themselves. You know, they figured out the good things I need to do in order to grow. And so I really look to the people around me who have bloomed before and have done it over and over again. And so I don't know that there's one piece of advice, but I think the advice really is to look to those people who are blooming and growing around you and seek out their advice. Don't go to the one whose garden and life is withering and not well watered. Go to the one who's figured it out a little bit better than the rest.
And the best thing, and the worst thing that can happen is I don't want to talk to you. And the best thing that can happen too is they sit down and share with you the secrets in which got them to where they're at.
Absolutely, and I think most people are willing to share. You just have to ask the question.
Yeah,
I think people don't understand the value that their life experiences will have when they share it with someone else.
Yeah, and to have somebody come up to you and say, hey, I've noticed this XYZ about you. What is your secret? What have you done to get there? That is something the receiver is, okay, I didn't know somebody was watching me that close. I will share with this person. And it really is an uplifting, emotional, positive effect on both people.
And also true in gardening. I mean, you know, gardeners, you ask a question and they'll talk for days.
Right.
And they'll be willing to help you with any advice, for sure.
Yeah, oh, definitely. For sure. I have coworkers that come up to me or people that work for my company and say, I'm sure you're sick of talking about gardening, but I just have this question. I'm like, oh, no, I'm never.
And you get people that stare at you strangely at the grocery store, and then they come up to you and go, I know you. And then you're like, okay, who are you? And then once they explain, then the creepiness goes away.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that.
There's that too. Well, Carrie, can you tell us more about how to find you and your information and your website and all
sure.
that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media channels at FHBNE. So, like Frances Hodgson Burnett, FHBNME.com, or FHBNME on Instagram. Instagram's probably where I hang out most, for sure. But I also have a YouTube channel as well, which is FHME as well.
Well, Carrie, we greatly appreciate the positive interaction that we've had with you on the program today, and thank you for taking time out of your day and sharing your knowledge with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, and everybody else, blessings and blooms on your winter gardening. Do you guys get to do winter gardening where you are?
We do inside gardening. We don't do a whole lot of outdoor gardening.
Oh, we're lucky here in Texas. We do get, well, we get four seasons, but we typically get them all in one day.
Yes. Well, thank you very much,
awesome.
Carrie.
Thank you, guys.
For more information, please visit the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com.